podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's FPL Family Podcast. No YouTube yesterday because, frankly, we were knackered. We're just coming back from our lovely holiday. We had 2 weeks away, didn't we? And we were both jet lagged to hell. So we were like, if we go live on stream...
I didn't know if I might fall asleep, to be honest.
We could have literally fallen asleep live on stream. So we were like, no YouTube. But what we will do is we will do a little cheeky Monday night podcast after the Arsenal game, which has just happened. And then we can review the whole game week as it was. What did you make of that shambles tonight from Sheffield United?
I mean, they were better in the second half.
God, right, okay, yeah.
I mean, I'm clutching. It was a disaster. It was a total and unmitigated disaster. Not that that should take anything away from Arsenal and their performance, but Sheffield United was, it was woeful.
I didn't watch the second half because I was, as usual, I play football on a Monday night, but I listened to Talk Sport on the way home, and Talk Sport said Arsenal were like prime Barcelona and Sheffield United were like prime Barnet. And they were. Arsenal were absolutely incredible, weren't they? Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but they were. But they were allowed to be peak.
Yeah, but come on, take nothing away.
No, I'm not taking anything away from the Arsenal performance, but what I'm saying is they were great. But Sheffield United allowed them to look even better. I mean, they could have scored 12 goals in the first half. They could have scored, by the time that they actually scored their first, they probably should have already been 3-0 up.
Yeah, and Bogle potentially should have been sent off for that foul on Odegaard as well.
It was a disaster.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. So wherever you get your podcasts, whether you're on Spotify or Apple or whether you're on one of those other... I actually looked at the analytics the other day.
All podcast platforms are available.
Yeah, I looked at the analytics the other day. Most listen to Spotify and Apple, to be honest with you. But if you do happen to be listening to it on any other podcast platform, hit that follow, hit that subscribe, hit that whatever it is button that they do on the particular platform that you're listening on. That'd be very, we'll be very grateful for you to do that. We'll talk about our teams. We'll talk about the game week that was. But we'll also talk about what we now do going forward. The landscape is a little bit clearer ahead of us, thanks to the last round of the FA Cup. Not that many upsets. So we now know what game week 29 looks like. You know, unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know it looks pretty sparse. So we'll both have a bit of an update for you on what our chip strategy is going forward. I don't know whether yours has changed much. Mine has changed. We'll talk about that.
Has it now?
In a bit. Yes, it has. We'll also be talking about transfers coming up for the upcoming double game week, because of course both Luton and Bournemouth have got the double coming up in next game week before the almighty blank game week 29. So we'll talk about a little bit about 27, a bit about 28, a bit about 29, and potentially a bit of future planning as well in terms of wildcard and stuff. So let's do a very quick review then of the game weeks, the game week that has just passed. So game week 28, we've discussed Arsenal and how good they were. What else have we got to discuss from the game week that we've just seen? Let's do a quick review of the games. Where do we want to start with these games, Sam?
I mean, I want to forget this game week as quickly as is physically possible.
Well, do you want to do that first? Do you want to do our scores?
Because I
do that?
Had an absolute unmitigated disaster.
Right.
It was just one of those weeks where I fancied Neto to do well.
Yeah.
Against Newcastle. Wolves.
Who are the worst defence in the league right now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wolves, for some reason, well, it didn't go well for them, did it? And
well, for some reason, is because they're all injured, right? Cunha and now Neto off at half-time.
And
Sarr
yeah,
off at
and so Neto goes off for a one-pointer, which is not ideal at all.
No.
Gross benched. Didn't go well.
But has been good for you in recent weeks, to be fair. Can't dig him out too much.
De Bruyne not getting anything in a game where Foden runs riot is just...
No Foden's killed you, innit?
Well, difficult, huh? That's not helped. I don't think that's the thing that's killed me, but that's not helped.
Yeah.
I wanted a Spurs defender. I went for Van de Ven instead of Romero. It was a straight choice between those two because I wasn't sure about the fitness levels of De Bruyne and... Of De Bruyne? Why have I gone there? Of Porro and Udogi. So, yeah, that was great. Martinez was played over Areola. That was fantastic. I benched Palmer for his 5 points. I benched Doty for his 5 points. I got scared and captained Haaland over Saka. That was great.
That was much of a muchness in the end, wasn't it? The Saka versus Haaland. Because if Saka gets pulled off at half-time, he never, ever rests Saka. But if you're going to do it, 5-0 at half-time against Sheffield United is the time to do it.
I mean, I'd have appreciated the extra couple of points, though, nonetheless.
Haaland's miss is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I don't think, and someone's going to correct me, I don't think I've seen a higher XG miss. I think it was 0.86 miss.
Yeah.
It
was just a really, really difficult game week for me. I think my game week rank was set nearly 8 million. And it's cost me like over 100k in rank.
So what's the final score and ranks and stuff?
I've just had that up here. Hang on, I'll bring it back up again. I've got to look at it again because having written the pod script tonight for the FPL pod on Wednesday. So points for the week, 49.
Ouch.
Overall rank now of 260k. That's out from 120k.
Ooh,
so okay. It has just been one of those weeks where...
Bad week to have a bad week.
And it was a bad week to have a bad week. I don't really have anything else to say about it, to be honest, because it was just one of those weeks. I'm just going to park it.
Move on.
Because there's no other way to deal with a week like that.
Yeah, the differentials, the netto and the gross. Yeah, it's just a tough one to take. My week, significantly better. Wouldn't say it was amazing, but significantly better. 82 leaves me on 62k. So that's a green arrow of about 15k, something like that, up from about sort of 78k up to 62. So still well positioned and snug within that top 100k. I've been there for a while, actually. Been sort of like bobbing around, floating around sort of between 50 and 70, sort of never doing sort of bad enough to slip out of the top 100k, but never really doing well enough to sort of get up to sort of 20, sort of 30, 40K, which is where I'd like to be. Mm. So I don't know. My team looks a bit template, but then, you know, I look at the coming weeks and I think, well, there's plenty of opportunity to not be template, particularly in game week 29 when I'm planning to free hit. That is my current strategy. And plenty of opportunity between now and the end of the season on doubles, blanks, blank doubles, which we've got coming up. We've got a game week where we've got both, haven't we?
Likely
got both, yeah. And lots of opportunities. So the fact that I've been bobbing around and sort of not doing much either way, I'm kind of okay with that. Foden's a difference, really, between you and I. I mean, the jammy Areola penalty save and the Foden brace is the difference, right? Because that's like 30 points for them too, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's just one of those weeks, I think, where, you know, when you talk about your team being template, but you're getting consistent green arrows. And I think that there's a lot of people that say about template teams, and I really don't think that that should be something that comes into your thinking unless you're massively, massively chasing rank. And I think that's been part of my issue in the last few weeks, is that I've been very aware, and I've said this to you off camera and off podcasts, very aware. And I think, you know, I remember you saying it to me last season as well when you were chasing me. When you're chasing somebody in particular, and for me at the moment it's you and Jules, it's very hard to not or to you have to take risks, right? Because you have to go for players that person doesn't have in the hope that it gets you somewhere.
Do you not think that's a bit of a dangerous game to play, though?
It's a massively dangerous game to play.
You just play it your own way, don't you?
And I think that's the point I'm making, is it's a massively dangerous game to play because, one, you run the risk of just losing your overall rank entirely by trying to catch somebody else, forgetting about the other 10 million people or so in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also think that there is an element of... you can't help but kind of look at what other people have got and think, could I differentiate my team? And for me, I'm not talking about like massively wild things. It was like, wow, I know that, you know, you've not got a Spurs defender yet. If I get one of them, that's going to help me because I'm planning a different strategy. And I know that Jules has got Udogie. So why don't I, rather than going for Udogie, had Porro been fit, I'd have gone back there. Instead, because he wasn't, I was like, well, I'm not sure if Udogie's even fit. I'm going to go for a different one. And it was 50-50 between Van de Ven and Romero. And I very nearly went Romero. Instead, I went for my favourite. And that was just a 50-50 call that didn't go my way this week. Yeah. But it's those little decisions that can cost massively, like going for KDB over Foden because others had Foden. And I thought, if I go KDB, that I can be a bit different and it might just gain me rank. In previous weeks, that's worked. Not this week. You just have to accept that sometimes...
Because Gross has been really good last few weeks,
Gross has been absolutely great. Fantastic for me, and I was not expecting the benching. So
I don't think any of us were, to be fair.
No. And so I think, you know, I'm looking at my team and I still look at it and think, God, that's not a team that should have got 49 this week. It really isn't. But it is what it is. And I look at them for next week and I think, actually, it looks all right. I'll use my transfers wisely again. I use my transfers wisely and... try and get back into a rhythm and a routine again.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, well, let's discuss some of the games then. Let's just pick out one or two. So give us your quick thoughts on the City versus United Manchester derby then. So utterly dominated. Manchester United, utterly dominated. If you look at the XG stats, you look at some of the pass maps and stuff, City absolutely blitzed it. Now, I know United went 1-0 up, but that was a 0.03 XG
great
shot
goal
from Rashford. Unbelievable strike.
Yeah.
Unbelievable strike. I can't tell you... Oh, God, I was about to compare myself to Rashford. I'm not going to do that.
Why do you always do this?
I've tried it myself.
Who was it you compared to last week?
I think Jota the night. Such a muppet.
What is wrong?
We can record it. We're recording this quite late Monday after I've just played football. And I can tell you, after 2 weeks holiday, I was crap tonight.
Did you do anything absolute, like Rashford?
Absolute rubbish I was tonight. But what I was going to say
injured,
is...
though. Normally you come back with like a cut on
I'm
your
all right.
leg.
I'm all right. I was hardly involved. I just didn't touch the ball. That's why I'm not injured.
Oh, you're funny, man.
Complete anonymous. But when the ball crosses your body like that, to cut back through it and hit it in the way that Rashford hit it, that is some techers, by the way.
Yeah.
That is unreal. But then Phil Foden pops up with a goal which is just as good. Utterly, utterly dominant City, right? So, yeah, fully deserved of the win as far as I'm concerned. Their assets going forward, how do you feel about it?
Deserved of the win, I think Manchester United...
No, come on.
Look.
Don't start.
No, so I actually thought that Manchester United weren't... I think they deserve a little bit more credit than that. They just died at the end. Yeah. They just died. They weren't that bad for the majority of the game. I was expecting an absolute whitewash from Manchester City, and we didn't get that for most of the game. Late on, we did. They collapsed, and Man City then went on and showed their dominance. But I thought it was a good game. I was just thoroughly irritated by my FPL assets in this one. De Bruyne and Ake not getting anything was a frustration. And at one point, I thought, and Haaland's going to blank as well. Obviously, his goal came very, very late on in the game, and we should have had more from him than we did.
How do you feel about Foden then, as a non-owner? Now they go into a fixture list which reads like this: Liverpool away, blank.
Yeah.
Arsenal at home, Villa at home, Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to go, oh well, I'll get Foden then, isn't it, with a fixture list like that? But he's on fire. I mean, there's loads of some of the, you know, Pep quotes after the game about, you know, is he player of the year and stuff. And right now, you have to say he's up there for it. No doubt about it. He's been absolutely unbelievable. To the point where I think you can probably have him over KDB now. I noticed in the game, as United sat deeper and deeper, actually KDB was kind of dropping into that sort of quarterback role, wasn't it? And it was Rodri, actually, that was kind of pushing forward a bit more. And obviously Foden was getting into those positions. So, listen, I'm not about to say KDB's a bad pick in FPL, because he's not. But there will be a bit of a movement now for KDB out, I think, ahead of those fixtures, particularly if you are trying to plan around 29 without a free hit.
Well, I'll be selling him.
Yeah.
Because
I can see why.
I don't want to use my free hit in game week 29. And also, I'm not... In the same way that with Ake, I'm not convinced that I want either of them longer term. I mean, Ake only had as a temporary pick anyway.
Yeah.
I think the question for me really is, do I get rid of KDB this week, or do I wait and sell him ahead of the blank? Because obviously my plan originally for this week, given that my strategy is hold the free hit for 34. So I've got to navigate 29 with transfers. My plan was KDB to Son this week. However, the injury to Neto now means that I have to kind of...
That bad one. I've not heard the
prognosis. We've got to wait and see, haven't we? So
we're
going to wait and see where we are with that. I think if Neto is out of this week, then I will do Neto to Son instead, because I have the money in the bank.
You got the money for
to
that?
Do that.
All right, fair.
Yeah, and I'll probably also do Ake to Reguilón. Because
oh,
then
how good's Reguilón been for Brentford?
I mean, no, it's ridiculous. I'll break him. So anyone else that's thinking about getting Reguilón, just don't.
I was listening to the, as I do every week, listen to the Above Average Boys. I always listen to their podcast on a Monday. Really, really good podcast. Worth checking out at Above Average.
Because we can't ever listen to them live.
Yeah, they. I think they stream at the same time as us. So yeah, we can't. I very rarely watch them.
In fact, stop bigging them up, because you know they stream the right same time as us.
They're so good. I'll definitely.
They're also such lovely guys.
Always
as well,
big those guys up. But both Spurs fans, and they were commenting on Reguilón, and they were saying, you know, were it not for his history, you know, you'd be looking at Ange and looking at Spurs going, you know, there's a decent right back there at Brentford. We should be having a look at him. But is he on loan?
Yeah, he's coming back.
So he's coming back to Spurs at some point.
He's always on loan. He's literally on loan somewhere all the time. But notice the difference this time is that he's gone on loan to a club that actually need him and are playing him regularly. Yeah. And because he's getting consistent games, and he's also playing in a team where he's being told, go forward, attack. He probably fit quite well in the Postecoglou system, to be fair. And now he's got Tony there and Maupay, and the pair of them are available to receive his crosses. It makes that assist potential even more likely.
Yeah. All right, let's finish up.
Back to my transfers.
Yeah, go on.
So I'm probably going to be, that was my original plan. We're going to have to wait on Neto. Obviously, if Neto is out, then I'll do him out. If KDB is out, then I'll sell if Neto is still playing this weekend, then I'll probably sell KDB instead this week, because I just don't think that at any point over the rest of the season I'm going to need to spend the level of budget that I need to spend on KDB when I could just have Foden instead for significantly less.
Yeah. All right. Where else do we go? That was way longer than I thought we were going to spend on that game.
We ended up talking about my transfer strategy for the week.
As usual with me, I've waffled on. Quick chat on, go on then, do Spurs Palace, because Spurs are on people's radars.
Because they play in the blank
of the game in game week 29, and we should probably talk about Villa as well in the same breath, because they've got West Ham away in game week 29. Spurs have got Fulham away in game week 29. Both look like reasonable fixtures, although West Ham do look better with Pakatar back, and Fulham don't look too bad as well with Mooney's getting more points after I shouted him out a couple of weeks ago on the pod. So Spurs and Aston Villa, let's talk about them in the same breath then. I watched the Spurs highlights, let's start with them. And I have to say, as a Son non-owner this week, I did see Son going into a lot of content creators teams.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, as we were away, we didn't really get to see the game. We were just sort of watching the scores come in on SofaScore or whatever. And it got to sort of 89, 90 minutes, or when did Son score? Like, quite late, right?
It was late.
Anyway, yeah. A few minutes before he scored, it was quite late in the game. And I was like, we've got away with this. Son non-owner's got away with this. And then when he scored, I was like, oh, God, you know, that's a massive differential against me. And I went off on one. Then I watched the highlights, and actually, as a Son non-owner, got a little bit lucky to just get the one goal, because he was good and everything was going through him.
But we knew, as soon as Postecoglou said on Friday afternoon in his press conference that Richarlison was out with his knee injury, we knew that that meant that Son was going to be playing in the number nine.
Yeah,
and
nailed on.
The thing with Son playing in the number nine, as we learnt in the earlier part of the season when he moved him out from out wide into the nine, is that that is where he returns the best in terms of his numbers because of the creativity that Spurs have in the team. Now, obviously, for a while, the Spurs' creativity massively dropped off because everyone was injured or away at the Asian Cup, or, you know, it was a difficult period for us. Now everyone's back. All the creativity is pretty much back in the team, with the exception of Pedro Porro, who Postecoglou said another week, so I'm hoping that he'll be back.
Is Madders quite at it? Is he still getting match fit?
Didn't
think he was quite at it.
I don't
know. For his standards. You know what I mean?
I think that's a little bit harsh. I mean, I think Spurs weren't... I certainly don't think that Spurs were at their best.
Don't know if he's purring yet. He's getting there, isn't he? But he's just...
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think Spurs as a whole weren't purring that well for most of the Crystal Palace game. We had some good chances, but I didn't think it was our best performance by a long way. I think there's still a few more gears to go up there. But what I will say is that I think whilst Richarlison is out, Son plays in the number nine. I think it makes him a great option. I think it's a shame in some ways that Werner is a forward, because I think if he'd have been a midfielder, he'd have been quite a good pick for the next few weeks with Richie out as well, because obviously he's going to play out on that side. And
Is he a pick, Werner?
I don't think he is as a forward, no, because at the moment you're going to have Watkins and Solanke, because you've got Watkins for the blank, you've got Solanke for the double this week. You're probably swapping Solanke for Tony when it comes to blank game week 29.
Or Werner, I mean,
it could be for Werner, but yeah. I think if you were going to double up on Spurs, you'd likely double up on the midfield rather than having a midfielder and a forward.
I wouldn't write him off completely, Werner, but I just think he was getting into some reasonable positions. He's got the monkey off his back now with the goal.
Sure, but I think, you know, most people are going to have a front three of, well, probably a front two, because you're probably going to bench Haaland in the blank. But if you're free hitting in the blank, then I think you can go for a cheeky punt on Werner.
Well, this is why I asked the question, because I am planning to free hit in 29, and he is a cheeky punt I'm planning on having.
Then you could, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You absolutely can do that. If I think if you're free hitting, because you can have a front three then of Werner, of Tony and Watkins, which feels like a nice front three. But I think if you're playing through, you wouldn't want to have Werner necessarily, because I think you probably want to hold Haaland to keep any value that you've got in him. In there potentially. So what I would say though, when it comes to Spurs in the blank in 29, is that I do think tripling up is the way to go, and it's just working out how you do that. So at the moment I've just got Van de Ven. I'm definitely going to have Son, because I think that that is the most obvious pick of them all in the next few weeks.
I feel like KDB to Son is happening for you, is it?
Well, as long as Neto is, I mean, KDB's going to go for somebody that plays in the double regardless. It will be for Son this week if Neto is available. It will be for somebody else next week if Neto's not. But I think, for me, the big question is, who is the third? Now, if you're free-hitting, I think it can be Werner. If you're not free-hitting, then it's probably likely to be a midfielder, I would say, unless you want to double up defensively. But I don't think Spurs keep enough clean sheets to warrant the defensive double up.
Mm.
So I think you're then looking at, well, do you double up some with Maddison? Do you double up some with Kulusevski? Or do you go for a cheapy budget option in Brennan Johnson? Because whilst Brennan Johnson's not getting the starts, he is consistently returning at the moment.
He's doing well, isn't he? He's reasonable form, reasonable form.
He's coming off the bench at the times when we need him and returning. So when you look at him over the last few weeks, I have to just get this back up because I'm going to get it wrong. But his returns recently have been really, really good. And I think when you're looking for a differential over the next few weeks, and particularly
what's
in that
ownership
blank,
Johnson? He's like...
So he's owned by 0.5% of the game.
You see, this is what I love about the free hit in 29 is that you can take risks like that, like a Kulu, Brennan, like a Werner. Know that, you know, by having them, you're not making sacrifices elsewhere that are going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It genuinely is the definition of a free hit, 29.
Yeah.
And Brennan could go off if he gets a goal. That's a massive boost, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's returned in 5 of his last 6 home games. And the one that he didn't return at home was the game against Wolves, where he actually could have. He came on for 90 minutes and he absolutely could have and probably should have returned right at the end of that game, if you remember. Now, obviously, in the blank, Spurs have got Fulham. It's an away match where, you know, he isn't quite necessarily as good away from home as he has been at home so far this or in recent weeks anyway, but nonetheless I think his form is there. And
can you pick Spurs, you know, even if you're not free hitting in 29, you can still pick Spurs, I think, even this week.
You're not free hitting in 39, I think you have to pick Spurs.
In 29, sorry, yeah, if you're not free hitting in 29,
you have to go 3 Spurs.
Yeah, free hitting.
I would still go three Spurs. But you maybe go slightly different.
And if you're not, then you probably want to build your team around that anyway.
Because the other thing to say about Spurs and Aston Villa is that coming out of the blank in
this
game
is the key, isn't it?
29, Spurs have got Luton at home.
Yeah.
In 30, which is a really nice fixture.
Then it's Forest at home, isn't it?
Then it's West Ham, Forest. So actually, arguably, and this is the one thing that has slightly tampered my enthusiasm for a wild card straight after the blank, because I think I'm going to have 3 Spurs, I'm going to have 3 Villa.
Yeah.
Their fixtures after the blank, really nice for both clubs. So those 6, I don't want to change necessarily straight away, unless Richarlison's back and I want to have a change up because I've gone for a diff. But if you've gone for a Spurs defender and then Son and Maddison, you won't necessarily have to make that change straight away. Yeah. If you've gone for Bailey and Watkins and then an Aston Villa defender, again, they are feasible good holds beyond the blank. So if you're not free hitting, you could put yourself in a nice position where you invest in these teams and then have them for the fixtures that follow. And then you can hold your wildcard for a little bit longer and maybe wildcard in 34 ahead of the 33, ahead of the 34 blank/double that we're expecting.
Can I tell you a secret?
Oh, what is it?
I got Son already. I got him last night.
Why?
Because he was going up in price.
Who'd you sell?
And De Bruyne was due to go down in price. Now, I don't think he did.
No.
But I think De Bruyne's going to go down tonight. So it was potentially it was a 0.2 for me. So I did it last night, even before the Arsenal game. I got 2 free transfers going into 28. So I thought, I rarely go early. But I thought, worst comes to the worst, I've got another free one that I can play with, and I know I'm free hitting in 29. So let's just go early. So I did De Bruyne to Son last night, Sunday night. I just think it's one to do. I looked at it and can De Bruyne get something against Liverpool at Anfield? Of course he can. It's a big game, Kev. Liverpool give up XG. He will create, no doubt. We give chances, no doubt. But can Sonny get at that high Aston Villa back line? Yeah. That's absolutely perfect for him. And then, like you say, you want him in 29 with your free hitting or not. Mm. And then out of it into 30, Luton, West Ham and Forest. At a time when, you know, he's the main man, everything's going through him, Richarlison's injured. I just think Sonny's a bit of a must-have, actually, over the next few weeks. So I've gone early on him. I've got him in. I've got one more free transfer to make, which I'll talk about in just a second. Let's go to Aston Villa then quickly, because they are the other team that a lot of managers will be focusing on for 29. And you're right, even coming out of it, it's Wolves at home, which actually on the face of it is a Midlands derby, could be tricky. Man City away and then Brentford at home in 32. Ollie Watkins is an absolute must-have. I thought he was fantastic at the weekend. Absolutely fantastic.
The thing with Ollie Watkins is that in seasons gone by, we've said purple patch player, you get on him for the highs, you get off of him as soon as the lows hit. This season's not like that.
Just hold.
I know we've had a few weeks of, disappointing returns from him, and they've annoyingly come at the times where we've captained him because it's been a really nice game week or whatever it is. But he is so consistent. And when Aston Villa are purring, you know that Ollie Watkins is going to be involved in the scores that come from it. He is just one of those picks right now. And, when I look at my front three, it is so beneficial that he is playing in game week 29, because he is a player that you, even on wildcard, after the blank, I won't be swapping out Ollie Watkins for anybody else. He'll be staying.
That second goal, the way that he cushioned it into the space, he made the space, then the ball comes to him from, I think, Douglas Luiz. He cushions it into the space that he's just made, and composure beyond composure puts it past the keeper. It was unreal. It was absolutely unreal. And I'm telling you, if there wasn't a world-class elite striker ahead of him in that England team, he'd be nailed on. Absolutely nailed on. And he'd be nipping at Harry's heels. I think he'd be nipping. Got to be on a plane.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt
he'd be on the plane.
There's no doubt that he's going on the plane.
Well, like, there's a doubt over anyone that's not got loads of England caps because it's Southgate. No, but
no doubt that he goes on the plane. And I think, he has been really, really good. And for me, he's not a player that I would not want to have in FPL, because I would every week I'd look at that Villa team and think there's goals in this game. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. I look at that team and think there's goals for them.
Who else week. In Villa then? Because you're right, we're focusing on them. I've got Moreno.
I've got Martinez.
Big sigh from both of us there when we mentioned the Villa defence.
But it's just not been good, the Villa defence in recent weeks.
It doesn't help that Dina comes on and gets a goal as well. Not good for me and Moreno, to be honest.
It does not help. And I think, going forward, I don't love the investment in the Villa defence, but I do like having Martinez. I mean, I actually got Martinez and Areola versus each other in the double in the blank game in 29.
You've got a goalkeeper choice to make. That can only end well, can't it?
It will end badly, won't it? It will absolutely end badly, because neither of them will probably, well, whichever one I play will get a clean, whichever one I bench is going to get a clean sheet on, is the reality. I don't love investment in the Aston Villa clean sheet, but actually, moving forward, the fixtures, like I say, coming out are nice. When you come out of that blank in 29, you do see a relatively nice run of fixtures for Aston Villa.
Doug Luiz is right up there in midfield as well, isn't he?
Well,
he's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what it is about him and a home fixture as well, because his home versus away form is ridiculous. Like, he's so good at home. It's not that he's bad away, but obviously Emery uses him in a different position. I'd love to see some Villa tactician tell me why that's the case. But at home, he's absolutely unreal. And he's on penalties, of course. I would have to say, I'm more or less nailed on in my free hit in 29. I can't see me not having him.
That's interesting.
Okay. You'd have some doubt?
I think I'd go Leon Bailey over him.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I quite like the Bailey pick. When you look at what he's been doing recently, we've had, so we won't count the clean sheet point in game week 21, but since game week 20, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 returns for him.
Yeah, good form.
So he's in good form. The only blanks have come away at Fulham And then that game away at Everton, where we did keep a clean sheet, so he gets the 1 point there. But, you know, the rest of them, they've
possible
been...
you can have both, though. Neither of us it have been... Neither, we both side when we mentioned Martinez and Alex Moreno. I mean, have both Luiz and Bailey, then.
And I think if you're free-hitting, you can. But if you're also talking about having Son and Maddison and Luiz and Douglas Luiz and Bailey, then that's most of your midfield. But then you need most of your midfield taken. Probably the other spot would go to Jared Bowen. Maybe we'll talk about West Ham in a moment.
Luton,
on a free hit. Barkley? Maybe there's Barkley from Luton. Well, maybe, because actually...
Not ahead of any of those.
But what I would say is that Barkley has... He does offer you an option because he's cheap. If you're not free hitting in 29, he could be your cheap fifth midfielder for a couple of weeks because he plays a double in 28. And then, so he's got three matches where some clubs will only have one.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, if you've got somebody that you've not had for a long time, you've not got any money invested in them in particular. You know, if for example, if you've got Garnacho in that fifth midfielder spot, you could go, all right, well, Garnacho becomes Palmer because Garnacho's got one fixture in the 2 weeks, whereas Barkley's got three. So if you can have Barkley for 2 weeks, then you could sell him after that if you want to.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
You know, I think there's definitely options with Bailey and Douglas Luiz. I think it's them. Obviously, it's Watkins. If you really want a defender, then sure. But
You're really going out for a Villa heavy win then, aren't you? You go for Doug Luiz, Watkins and Bailey. You're looking for Villa to absolutely smash West Ham at Villa Park, which could happen.
They
did look a little bit better, West Ham, at the weekend.
They did look a little bit better. And, you know, it's Spurs in 28. So if you're not free hitting and you do this, then it's a home fixture against Spurs. But that's a big match for both those two sides. I think that'll be probably quite a... Well, it'll be an interesting game because obviously they're competing against each other for that fourth slot. It's a very big game. And then there's the West Ham game. And like you say, West Ham have been better. Not great, but they have been better. And then after that, they come out. It's the Wolves game. Then it's Manchester City. That's difficult. But then towards the back end of the season, it's quite nice. So I think it depends on how you are dealing with Aston Villa over the coming weeks. I think that's the thing I would say is you have to kind of consider... What is your strategy with them moving forward? How many of the slots do you want to take up and go from there?
Yeah, cool. All right. What else do we want to discuss from 28?
Maybe just a little bit about West Ham, actually, because they are another one of those teams that play. And obviously, they get the win against Everton.
Yeah. Left it quite late, but you know.
A bit like Spurs, left it late.
Classic
but nonetheless,
Everton.
Get the win. Everton capitulating toward the end and missing penalties and all sorts of things. But I think what we did see, the return of having Paquetar and Kudus around Bowen makes such a difference to the way that they attack. Now, the clean sheets never look likely. They never look likely with West Ham. So having Areola there, it's just a freak of nature that he's... Why was it when I played him the other week, he didn't give an opportunity to save the penalty? Gets subbed off injured before the penalty gets taken. This week, when I've benched him, he saves a penalty. It's so annoying.
When the penalty got given, I just had a feeling he was going to save it. I just thought it's Beto, you know, not exactly free scoring. His confidence probably not sky high. I just thought it just would be so FPL if he saved it.
And he did.
And he is a good save as well. You see, it wasn't like a terrible
penalty.
It's
terrible. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
Oh, God.
I'm joking, of course. No, look, it is what it is. You just get that sometimes in FPL, don't you?
I will say about Bowen, you're right about him. Because, again, limited sample size, admittedly. And I wouldn't say I watch every minute of every West Ham game. But I do watch all the highlights. From what I saw... He was making runs at the weekend that he hadn't been making in the last few weeks because he knows he's now got players behind him that will find him.
Correct. And we said this before. Which team were we saying this about before? Oh, we were talking about Haaland a few weeks ago. Do you remember when KDB was out?
We were
talking about how Haaland suddenly, in that game where KDB came off the bench, suddenly we saw Haaland making runs that he hadn't been making the rest of the game.
It's psychological.
And it is, because you know that the person that's there is going to create you something. So Bowen is there. He is looking behind him, seeing Paquetar and Kudus and going, right, I've got a supply line. I'll make the moves. I'll make the run. And suddenly we're getting these big returns from him again. And earlier on in the season, he was a fantastic FPL asset to own. He dropped off a cliff because Paquetar was injured and Kudus had gone off to AFCON. Now those two are back in the fold. Aston Villa Why do I keep saying Aston Villa? West Ham now.
Claret and Blue, isn't it?
Claret and Blue. Yeah, West Ham.
You calling them Burnley next?
I don't think I'll ever confuse anyone with Burnley. But you look at it and you go, right, moving forwards, there are feasible options now in that team. If you don't want to spend the budget on Bowen, then get Kudos instead. But I think Bowen, obviously, a bit like we were saying about Son before, you could feasibly, by having Son and Bowen in your team for game week 29, have two out of position midfielders.
Yeah. And if you're not free hitting in 29, they're a reasonable pick in 28 because you've got Burnley at home, I think, for West Ham. Yeah. So, yeah, don't mind it. James Ward-Prowse, because he's on the Pens as well, fancy that?
Potentially. I don't personally love that as a pick. I think I'd prefer one of the three that we've just been talking about, and of them, I'd still prefer Bowen with second place. I'd put Kudos, and then probably third, I'd put JWP.
For if you were going free hit in 29 and you had in your midfield a slot for a claret and blue penalty taker, would you have Douglas Luiz or would you have James Ward-Prowse?
Who's at home?
God, good question. Don't know. Should have looked at that before I answered the question. West Ham are at home.
Then I'd have James Ward-Prowse because Douglas Luiz isn't as good away.
Yeah, that's true. Doug Luiz doesn't know how to score when he's
away. He doesn't travel well.
That'll be the one week, won't it? That'll be the one week where he does travel well. Let's talk very briefly then about game week 28, what's in front of us. And we've got to talk about, we can't talk about 28 without talking about Bournemouth. So again, for those free hitting in 29, Bournemouth look like a reasonable pick because they've got the double game week coming up. And then the fixtures after 29 look very good. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any question that, you know, Dominic Solanke's going to be in, well, he already is in a lot of teams. Is he fully fit? I don't know. He sort of looked a little bit in that first half like he was a bit leggy, like he might have been carrying something at the weekend. But listen, I'm not about to take him out of my team with a double game week that's got Luton and Sheffield United in it.
No, but I will be selling him immediately after the double game week.
Will you? Well, because fixtures are good though.
But he doesn't play in 29 and I've got to play through 29 and I'd rather have Tony.
Yeah, you see, this is another reason for the free hit, I think, in 29 because Bournemouth and Solanke in particular, that is a player that you want to keep.
But then wildcard's coming, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, so again, depends on your chip strategy, doesn't it? If you can wildcard him back in, then fine. But I'm probably going to save my wildcard for a bit later in the season because like you said earlier on in this podcast, you know, the some of the players I'm going to have, the team and the shape of and look of my team is going to feel all right, I think, coming out into 30-31. Not wildcardable, put it that way. Particularly if I play the free hit in 29. Another reason to play it, in my opinion, is that you can save the wild card for later on. But Solanke looks good. The fixtures look unreal. If that Sheffield United team tonight turn up at the Vitality, he's going to have a field day, isn't he?
Well, Sheffield United just, yeah, he will. And it's Luton as well. So,
would you TC him if you had it left? Yeah, I think it's if you've got it left, this is the time. This is the time.
I think so.
Not going to get any better, is it?
I think so.
Will we get a reaction from Sheffield United?
No.
Sorry, I'm trying to stick up for Sheffield United.
Are they going to react to, they look crestfallen. Yeah.
We might get a reaction, but it'll be, you know, can't be arsed.
I think they've just given up. They just look like they've given up. What I would say, though, I think the part of the reason I'm hesitating about the triple captain thing is because I didn't think he looked 100% fit in game week 29, in game week 27. So how are we expecting him to play the full 180 minutes? Are we expecting there to be a bit of...
Yeah, but he still do damage even in limited minutes.
I agree, but I don't necessarily think you need to triple captain him. I think you could hold that chip for later.
Going to captain him, though.
Oh, I'm 100% going to captain him. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that he's the best captaincy option for this week. I think there are others, by the way. There's a lot of single game weekers with actually really nice fixtures that you could hand the captain's armband to this week. But
got to go with him.
I think you have to. If you've got a double game week player, you have to go with them.
Yeah. Even if it was just Sheffield United at home, we would be having a conversation about him as captain. He'd be in the conversation.
Even if it was just Luton, I think you would have.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think you'd put him in the conversation that says, "All right, well, who am I captaining this week?" Because obviously, Haaland's got a difficult fixture at Liverpool. You've got the Spurs team playing against Aston Villa. That's a difficult game. From a Watkins Son perspective, that's a difficult game to call. I can't think who Arsenal have got. Who have Arsenal got?
Arsenal in 28. Let me just bring up my fixture ticker. Can't believe I can't remember.
Brentford.
Arsenal got Brentford at home, which on a Saturday night, which looks like a nice fixture.
Actually, that'd be a really, really good game of football. So there's that to contend with as well. Kind of like, where are we? It's not the easiest of fixtures for the likes of Saka, I guess you'd say. So there's not like, looking at the single game weekers, I wouldn't have said there was a standout. So if Solanke just had one of those fixtures, he's definitely in the conversation for the captaincy. But who else
from Brentford then? So from Bournemouth, Solanke for sure.
Well, I think Senesi would have been popular, but then the injury...
Yeah, not fit, is he?
We don't know for definite, but it's going to make him a big doubt for the double.
Who else in defence would you go, or would you not? Because I think it's only really two. It's Neto in goal, I think, because he's nailed.
Cook?
Definitely not. No, I think you'd go for... Who's the guy beginning with Z at the back, whose name I can never pronounce?
Zabernyi.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's the one, I think, if Senesi's not fit. Senesi's the one, I think, because he popped up with a few returns, isn't he, if fit.
You've got them, and there are other options. There's Semenya, there's Kluivert.
Kluivert's the one, I think, to have a look at, but potentially.
Potentially, I think you
could. But then who do you sacrifice? Who do you take out of your midfield?
Exactly. And I think, you know, the reality is you also have to consider Luton in this. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but again, it's going to come down to your chip strategy, because if you go for a Ross Barkley, three games in the time that
Kluivert's got
two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
Kluivert's two are good.
They are good, but the Luton ones aren't terrible.
No.
It's not like Luton have got a horrendous game. No, they've got Bournemouth.
But Palace away.
So it's not like, it's not a horrible double for them. It's a decent enough double. And then obviously they have the fixture in game week 29 as well. So there's a lot to consider, I think, depending upon players that are free hitting in game week 29, I think will probably go a bit heavier on Bournemouth for this double game week than the ones that decide not to play a free hit in 29.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're saying? We're saying Solanke and Neto or Zabanyi, if you fancy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Let's talk about chip strategy then, and how what's happened recently has affected your thinking. Last we spoke, you were pretty set on dead-ending your team through 29, then wild-carding in 30-31 to fix it.
Yeah.
I was leaning that way, but was still open to the idea of 29. I'll tell you where I'm at with my thoughts in a moment, if you've not guessed it already. But are you still on that strategy?
Yes.
Sounds a bit less convinced.
Well, I'm just a bit FPL'd out, I think, after this game week. I am still on that strategy. I think the potential upside of a free hit in 34 is huge, whereas I think the potential upside of a free hit in 29 is much more limited. And so that's where I'm kind of at the moment. I can get... So at the moment, when it comes to my team, I've obviously started the build for a game week 29 playthrough.
Yeah.
So I've got a choice of goalkeeper... Oh, the joy.
That's a bad thing.
I know. I've got a back three of Charlie Taylor, Van de Ven and Doty. So all I've got a back three. I've got a defence. I have Watkins.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You're supposed to be building to 29, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, but that's fine. So right. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 so far. I was planning to take a hit this week and probably a hit next week. So that was the plan. So my plan was to go from De Bruyne to Son.
So three hitters are already +8 on you because you're taking two hits?
Possibly. So this is where my strategy may change, because what I might do is not take the hit this week, just do the Son transfer. Because my plan for this week was either to hit in Reguilón, because he plays in both games.
For a hit. God,
well, as part of an Ake and KDB out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I just don't do that one. I bench Ake for this game against Liverpool because I'm not convinced that I want to play him anyway. And also I want to play Doty because he's got the double game week. So Ake can just go to the bench, I'll play Doty.
Yeah.
Obviously then I'll have Son in instead of KDB or Neto, whichever way it goes. I still quite fancy... I mean, surely Gross is going to get the start this time around. I can't think he's going to bench Gross twice, particularly given they lost the game.
Unless he's got some issue, but I don't think he has.
Well, that's not been reported, so hopefully he'll be all right.
You still got Estupinan, by the way?
No, I got Van de Ven instead.
I want rid of him as quickly as possible.
He just did my head in, and I'm much happier having...
What's going on with Brighton? It's getting battered all the time now. They were good a few weeks ago.
Battered everywhere they go. I don't know. They turned a corner, I thought, and now they seem to be back in the mud again.
He's off and he deserves it, I think. He'll go somewhere in summer.
And obviously... You know, I'm also happy to bring Palmer back into my starting 11 because he's sat on the bench at the moment.
100%, yeah.
So I am a little bit wavering on the free hit because I think...
You're wavering towards a free hit or wavering away from it in 29?
So I was like 90%, 95% that I was going to play through and dead end my team. Now I'm like... I think because I've had a really bad game week this week, and this is why I should never make FPL decisions when you've had a bad week. You should always just let it lie. Now I'm like, I need to fix everything immediately.
Wild card.
I'm not there, but I am now like, I need to fix everything immediately. So maybe actually the right thing to do is to free hit then, because then I can keep the players that I want. I can free hit all these nice players in for game week 29 that we've just been talking about. I can take some, have some fun punts, and I can improve my team that way. So now I'm slightly more back in the free hit 29 camp, and I'm starting to think that that might be the way I go. And I'm probably saying now I'm like 60-40 with my strategy. Like,
quite a big swing there.
I'm like big, yeah, I don't know. Right. But more on this when we kind of get to our Ohana podcast later on in the week for the patrons, because I don't really know, and I'm hoping that by the end of the week I might have some clarity as to what I'm doing. But I am starting to just think, because the reality is that the Sun transfer in I want to do anyway.
I think regardless of your strategy with the free hit chip, if you still have it, for those that don't have it, I don't know what you're going to plan to do, but anyway, regardless of your strategy, Sun in is a good move this week.
I totally agree with you. And so that's why
if you can do it.
And so that's why I might just do that one transfer.
Yeah.
And then not take a hit. And then if I decide I want to play through, I'll take a minus eight for the blank. Nice. But I can afford to go from Neto straight to Sun.
You can do it.
I can do that.
But you want to wait on Neto News.
But I want to wait on Neto News because I think I'd rather sell KDB than I would Neto.
Yeah, because Neto's got Wolves at home. You wouldn't mind him for that, would you? You wouldn't mind him for that.
No, he's not got Wolves at home. He is Wolves.
Sorry, what do I mean? I don't mean... Oh, God. You can tell we're recording this quite late. Fulham at home.
Fulham
at home. I knew it was a home game. So in terms of my thinking
around...
I'm
all over the place, basically, is what I'm saying.
Well, listen, I think that's natural. You've had a bit of a tough game week, and it's, you know, probably...
A shocker.
This is not the right time to be doing a podcast about, you know, your thoughts, really, because your thoughts are likely to be a bit all over the place. You'll feel far more clear about it over the coming days, I'm sure about that. Like you, I was kind of leaning a bit more towards dead end and wild card, but I probably was only about 65-70% in favour of doing that.
Okay.
I had much more of a feel that I might still free hit in 29. That was last Sunday. Now, I'm probably the opposite, if not a bit more towards free hit in 29. So I'd say probably 80-20 now, 80% doing the free hit, if not a bit more. A couple of reasons that have changed my mind over the last week or so. One is the Richarlison injury.
Yeah, Richie, because you were quite nicely set with him.
I was banking on him playing in 29 for me. Now I can't really, because I think he's out for 3 or 4 weeks. That changed my thinking a little bit. That was out of my control. Another one was one that was completely in my control, which is bringing in a rotation risk like Alex Moreno. I still don't think it's a bad pick, but, you know, he comes off on 59 a couple of weeks ago. He comes off again this week. Luca Dina comes on, gets the goal.
Yeah.
I can't bank on him in 29, can I? So all of a sudden, this team that I'm building towards for 29, that I was building towards for 29 a week ago, I've got risks in it, like Richarlison and Moreno.
Which might be back. But it's unlikely.
But it's unlikely, isn't it? That's the problem. So what am I saying? I'm saying that this team that I'm building is covered in risk for 29. And if those risks don't pay out, which in Richarlison's case is highly likely and in Moreno's case is reasonably likely, then I'm stuffed for 29 because my team ain't even going to get a game. So I have to free hit in 29. Yeah. I have to free hit in 29. And actually, the more I think about it and the more I've looked at the team that I would put together for free hit in 29,
the more I like it, because you can have a Werner, you can have a Brennan Johnson, you can have a Bailey, you can have all these players that you might not want longer term.
But maybe not Douglas Luiz, because he's...
because he's away from home.
Away.
But that's my point, right? You can have all these players, like Tony. I probably don't want Tony after the 29. Probably not, because he's got, I think, Villa away coming up, and then he's got a game against Man U. He's not bad fixtures, but I'm going to want to go back to Haaland, Watkins and Solanke, aren't I? Probably.
Probably.
I don't really want Tony. So there's a bunch of players that you can have a little bit of fun with, I think, in free hit 29, knowing that you can't... You almost can't get punished. Like if you go for a Bailey or something, without the free hit or in any other game week, you go, well, I'll probably have him over Palmer. And you're like, oh, is that worth the risk? But in 29, you just have it. You just play the chip and you get a complete free hit on a massive differential. I probably will go Werner or Brennan Johnson alongside Madison and Son, or... yeah, probably will go free Spurs, put it that way. I love that I can go for a Brennan Johnson or a Werner, knowing that any goal that they might get in a game where they are away at Fulham, so Spurs are back to get a few goals. Haven't you gone like 38, 39 games scoring goals now? Like, you've not blanked for 39 games. Ridiculous.
And it's a really important game.
Werner scores or Brennan Johnson scores on my free hit 29. Great. Bang. Yeah. Green arrow. So I would say between last Sunday and now, I've steered much more towards free hitting 29. And when I look at the team that I could have coming out into 30, it looks pretty good. So I'm sort of in a position now going with two free transfers into 28, thinking I'm going to use these transfers now to future-proof my team into 30-31, so I don't have to wildcard. And that starts with KDB to Son. That is the first transfer I've made. I made it yesterday. That's absolutely happening. The second transfer that I'm considering...
I forgot you've got two.
So I've got the two free transfers, and I am going to use them, because if I'm going to free hit in 29, I don't want to burn it, because once you've used your free hit, you lose it, don't you, effectively? So
yeah, snooze,
lose. I am going to use the second transfer. It's either going to be Estupiñán to Gusto, which I don't mind.
Okay. I don't love that.
Well, it's just an option, right? Chelsea have got Newcastle at home. Then obviously the blank, but I don't need him. But it's afterwards. Burnley at home, Man United at home, Sheffield United away.
Trust the Chelsea defence?
I would trust Gusto for attacking returns. You see, that ball in for Palmer at the weekend was unreal.
How far away from being fit is Reece James?
He's never fit.
I mean, I appreciate that.
He's never fit.
The world's stupid question, because he is literally never fit.
He's never fit.
But he is on his way back.
Yeah.
He's back on the
grass. Listen, that's one that I've considered, right?
Who's the other?
The other is to go Bournemouth defence. That's the other one. Estupiñán to maybe Zabani, which I don't really like. Bear in mind that I would be giving up potentially Estupiñán at home to Forest, which I don't particularly like. But then after, it's Liverpool, Brentford and Arsenal. So that's why I want rid of Estupiñán. Plus the whole pasta thing's annoyed me, to be honest.
Udogie, Pedro Porro?
Maybe if we get something on Pedro Porro in terms of his fitness, I don't mind it. I wouldn't back you for the clean sheet at Villa Park.
No, nor would I. But afterwards, potentially.
I still think Porro is probably the one of the two that I would go for. I appreciate you've gone for Van de Ven, but I wouldn't go for those. I'd go for one of the wing backs.
Fulham are an interesting defensive option. Their fixtures are really nice. Following,
if who would you go for in there?
Well, that's the
don't say Tim Ream to me. I'm not having it.
Anderson, probably.
It's just uninspiring compared to Gusto, who's getting assists.
It is uninspiring, but I think the clean sheets are more likely for Fulham with the fixtures that they have after 29.
All right. Well, yeah, so like I say, could go for a Bournemouth defender. Or if I keep Estupiñán and just, you know.
Keep Estupiñán is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Well, I would probably start him at Forest at home, but then.
Yeah, but will De Zerbi?
Well, yeah, I don't know. But then after.
Cat doesn't think so.
The cat's meowing.
Cat's meowing and saying no.
Disappointed, no. I definitely wouldn't want Estupiñán after, which again, it goes against my whole kind of plan for future proofing. But if I didn't do that and I kept Estupiñán, I'd probably get the keeper, you know, I'd probably get Neto. I'd probably get Neto. I'd probably say thanks, Areola, for the penalty save. Yeah. Out you go. Because if I look at the Newcastle fixtures, Dubravka's fixtures after, it's West Ham at home, Everton at home, Fulham away, which I like better than the West Ham fixtures, which include Newcastle, Spurs and Wolves. So probably get rid of Areola. Thanks for the penalty save. In you come.
Neto for the double, and then good fixtures for the next 4 or 5 weeks, including Everton at home, Palace at home, Luton away.
Mm.
So don't mind that, but that would mean keeping Estupinan, which feels really feels like a waste of money, just having 5 million defenders sitting there doing nothing, totally, which I hate. So, yeah, I haven't decided yet. Gusto or a keeper or a Bournemouth defender will be my second transfer, but I've got a week to think about it anyway. But that's it. That's my plan. I am now committed to free hit 29, or as much as I can be. 80, 85%, I would say.
Well, you say that, but in reality, it depends on where you go with your Estupinan potential transfer. Yeah.
My son move doesn't change my
your
commitment.
Your son, no.
Yeah. It's my second transfer that will change my commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it is to Gusto or it's to a Bournemouth defender, then I'm committing to a free hit in 29. If it's to a Spurs defender, then I've still
you
got
still
the option.
Still remain open.
I've still got the option, yeah.
You're not locked in.
Yeah, exactly.
As they would say on Love Island.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the strategy. Your team for the upcoming 28, let's have a look at it. Or would you like me to talk about mine first?
No, go on. Let's just rip this Band-Aid off again. Right, hang on.
You really are a bit down in the dumps about game week 27, aren't you?
Okay, do you want to know the real reason I'm annoyed tonight?
Well, Jules Laron being in the top 1K, probably.
Yeah, but it's not just that, Lee. We're doing a live pod this week, in-studio pod. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Where are you going?
It'll be lovely. We're going to go into the normal podcast studio that we use in King's Cross. I've been so looking forward to seeing the guys. Ian's coming down for it. All four of us are going to be there. Ian's gone 2 points ahead of me this week.
Shut up.
No.
Shut up.
Jules has absolutely smashed me this week. I am...
Ian Irvine, who was the butt of all the jokes when he first turned up into the pod because he was at 3 million ranks.
2 points ahead of me. I am
you are joking.
Having the worst week of my FPL life, potentially. And now I've got to go and sit in a studio. I can't even mute them because they're going to be next. I'm going to have Jules on one side and Ian on the other because they will put me between them. You know that them two are going to make it so that I've got to sit in the middle of them and they're going to be on at me. To make it worse, I picked Havertz as my diff last week. Couldn't have it because Jules hadn't prepared a backup, so I had to go for my backup option. So he smashed me in the diffs as well.
The cream will rise to the top.
Lee, he is 100 and something points ahead of me now.
I'm not talking about him. Jules is having a freak season, right? A freak season. He's never going to be top 1K ever again.
I looked it up.
Do you think you're overthinking it a bit?
What?
I mean, here's two guys. You've just mentioned the two guys there. Love them to bits. I love Jules and Ian on the pod are great. But they don't think about FPO anywhere near as much as you do.
But that's...
All they do is they turn up to the podcast, hear what you've got to say and do what you tell them. And they do really well. Whereas you don't
that's
take your own
true.
Advice.
That's not
You're
true.
Fighting about with goalkeepers every week, whereas they're getting Havertz in for a brace. So
honestly, I can't even cope with this week. And I actually do think that part of my issue this week has been that, as you say, I live and breathe FPL. Like, it is my actual life. It's ridiculous how much I love this game and how much time I spend thinking about it.
Trust me, I
and
know.
This is the I know you do. But this is the first time, I think, in 6 years that I've taken a holiday and genuinely stopped working. The only thing I did for 2 weeks was turn up at 4 o'clock in the morning twice to record the podcast.
Yeah.
And...
But you still did more than Jules and Ian would have done the last couple of weeks.
No, I'm not sure that that's true. But because of that, I did feel a bit underprepared for both these game weeks. And I went into them not feeling that confident because I felt like I was making decisions blind because I wasn't really fully aware of what was going on. And that was my own decision making and I need to obviously just own that. But going into the next couple of weeks, I need to get back on it properly again and improve things because actually that Arsenal game tonight, like the decision not to captain Saka, I wanted to captain Saka for the last 2 weeks and I've talked myself out of it through fear.
Mm.
And I can't keep doing that. I've got to just stop being afraid of the decisions I make and play my game my way because that's what I always do.
If you captain Saka this week, you're bang unlucky, aren't you?
Massively so.
Two assists and off at half time, he could have had an absolute hat.
Our little podcast group chat was going off tonight because obviously Jules had captained him, the rest of us had gone Haaland, and all three of us, the other three, were going, we have dodged a massive bullet.
Yeah.
Massive.
Although Haaland, 0.85 chance missed,
that, but,
could have been very different for him as well.
Yeah.
And that's three baps if he gets that, probably.
Oh, for
at
sure.
least two.
For sure. Okay, right, you want to know about my team?
Yes, please.
All right, here they come, this motley crew of fun. So this week, there is no debate about the goalkeeper for a change.
Right.
I'm playing Areola, obviously,
because he is at home to Burnley and Martinez is at home to Spurs. I expect Spurs to score.
Yeah.
A back three currently of Doughty, Saliba and then Van de Ven. And then a midfield four that currently...
No love for Charlie Taylor this week? Poor old Charlie?
I love Charlie Taylor. You know I love Charlie Taylor. I have nothing but...
Where's he going? To West Ham? I wouldn't be playing.
But I'm not playing him away at West Ham.
I wouldn't be playing.
A midfield four of Palmer, Gross, Saka, Neto slash De Bruyne, depending upon which one remains.
Okay.
The likelihood
is... So
is
there some doubt over you playing De Bruyne?
Well, De Bruyne... Well, probably what would happen is that De Bruyne would become Son and then Neto would end up on the bench anyway.
Right.
So
okay.
this is where my struggles lie, because basically this week I have to play Solanke. I want to play Watkins because we don't defend very well. And then Haaland, you've got to play Haaland.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the midfield has to drop out. I don't think I want to bench Gross at home to Forest because nope. Surely he's going to play.
Yeah.
Saka I can't bench because, well, I mean, the kid Saka. Is just... Yeah. Palmer at Newcastle, maybe I could bench Palmer again, but it didn't go well last week.
They're at home to Newcastle.
And it didn't go well last week. No. And then Neto's at home to Fulham. Basically, what I need is that all-out attack chip back again for this week.
Remember that?
Yeah, I love that chip. So De Bruyne or Neto, one of them is going to become Son and the other one's going to end up on the bench, which it makes me more inclined to sell De Bruyne.
If Neto becomes Son, you're going to bench De Bruyne.
Right, you look at that. You look at that front seven. So imagine that Neto is Son. So Palmer at home to Newcastle. Gross at home to Nottingham Forest. Saka at home to Brentford.
I don't care who he's playing. You're not playing Gross over Kevin De Bruyne. Come on. Come on. It's Kevin De Bruyne.
Did you see the 2 points he got last week?
Yeah, but listen, we give up chances. He will create against us. He will create.
Well, he might create, but I don't think he's the right... Yeah. Look, the whole thing's basically a bit of a disaster, Lee, to be quite frank. But
not that bad. You've got a decent looking team.
I know, but I had a decent looking team last week and they got 49.
All right,
can we
very good.
This podcast before I have a breakdown.
Yeah, we can. We got
go through your team quickly.
Gone over an hour.
I'm
as
captain
well.
In Solanke.
I've got Areola in goal, unless he becomes Neto, but Burnley at home. I mean.
If you're ever going to play Areola, it's this week.
Yeah, but I don't know.
No, don't even yeah, but. If there's ever going to be a week you start Areola, surely it's against Burnley.
I don't know. You can just see, Rodriguez popping up off
the
bench.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? Because Charlie Taylor's on my bench.
Charlie Taylor header or something, I don't know. if Burnley can't buy a goal, surely Areola gets a clean sheet. Surely. Then my back line, double Arsenal defence as usual, which given that I've read the most ridiculous stat this evening after that Arsenal-Sheffield United game. I don't know if you saw it, but over the last 7 games,
yeah,
Arsenal have conceded a total
yeah.
of 0.31 XG.
Yeah.
Total.
And
that is insane.
And I also read a stat earlier that in the top 100K of managers, only 17% have the double up.
It's a good differential. Mm. It's a good differential. The only bugbear I have with it, and I really am, people will be just like, shut up, Lee. They got 12 points between them tonight.
Shut up, Lee. They got 12 points between them.
My only bugbear is that they're scoring so many goals that they don't get anywhere near the bonus points, these lads.
No, but.
But shut up, Lee.
Quite frankly, they're coming up. You know, they I don't know how they didn't get enough set pieces. Basically, tonight they were just scoring. They were just scoring all their goals.
Sheffield United stood off of them, so they never got fouled.
Yeah,
and every time they got near the box, Sheffield United didn't defend it out for a corner.
So they just scored.
Yeah, they were that bad.
But had there been set pieces in that game, absolutely, Gabriel would have returned.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, there was a chance you missed it very late on where Saliba sent the ball through to Jesus, and how Gabriel Jesus didn't score, I have no idea.
Okay.
And it would have been a Saliba assist.
Wow, would have liked that.
Yeah, I would have liked that too.
Saliba and Gabriel at the back with my man Alfie Doughty, we've put up with a lot of dross from Alfie over the last couple of weeks. I say dross, he got an assist and I benched him, so it's my own fault. But yeah, I feel like I'm owed a bit by Doughty in this double game week. Then I've got Saka, Palmer, Son, now in midfield.
Sunshine.
Brought him in last night. And Foden. And then I've got Haaland, Watkins, and Solanke captain up front. My bench is Dubravka, Alex Moreno, Estupinian, and Richarlison still sitting there injured as third sub. So I'm pretty set, I think. I don't think that I'm going to do anything too drastic. Maybe Estupinian comes out for...
Anybody else?
A player that's going to help me after my free hit. So I'm going to future-proof my team by binning Estupinan for Augusto, probably.
You need to go on the scout members area. You need to
always
sort,
on the scout members
area. You need to sort the fixture ticker by game week 30 onwards and then just pick someone from the top.
Yeah, or even better, if you're a member at Fantasy Football Scout, that's a good plug, isn't it? If you're a member at Fantasy Football Scout, you can get on the fixture ticker. You can delete game week 29 out of the fixture ticker because you're free hitting there, and have a look at the schedule without 29 in there. Yep. I can tell you, Bournemouth and Chelsea both show up pretty well.
Chelsea.
Pretty well. But it's Gusto. He's getting it. He's getting attacking returns. So it could be a stupid answer, Gusto. I could be utterly rogue and ridiculous and go Areola, who's a locked-in clean sheet against Burnley at home. And get Neto, which is a possible. It is a possible. You could see a 12-pointer from Neto, couldn't you? You really could. So there we go. That's it. That's where we are at. Solanke captain for me. I don't see me doing anything different. That is going to be, I think, nailed on. There we are. That's it. That is the end of the pod. Thank you guys for listening. Goodbye and good riddance to game week 27 from
your
perspective.
Hallelujah. Praise be.
And hello to game week 28 coming up on
be any worse.
The 9th of March. Deadline is Saturday, 11 o'clock. We on Sky this week?
Lee, you know what I've just said about how bad my week's been?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm doing this week?
Yeah.
Everything.
You are. I was just going to say.
Everything.
Usually if we were on YouTube right now, I'd go, Sam, what have we got coming up this week? On the back of one of the worst game weeks you've had of the season, you are on all the things this week.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, Harry and I are recording off the bench together.
Oh, no, he's had a good week as well.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yep, I know.
86, I think he got.
Shut up.
Sorry, Harry, if you're listening.
Harry, I love you, but crumbs. I'm already messaging him and told him to be kind.
Just talk to him about Chelsea, they're crap.
Yeah, okay. No, even they...
Tell him how good the Vissa overhead kick was. You seen that?
I don't want to upset Harry, because then he'll just mention my rank, won't he?
Give you a
And then on Wednesday, I've got to go into London.
Oh, no.
And sit between Jules and Ian.
What a week this is going
to
be.
And then on Friday, I've got to see Ian again for the FPL show.
Oh,
and sit on the sofa with him. And then on Saturday, I've got to sit next to you on the sofa. The only thing I can hope is that Hayley's still having a nightmare.
Do you know what? I love Hayley. She's wicked. And I love all the people down at Sky. But when we do it, so when we do the, oh, who's winning in FPL family at the beginning, we move on very quickly when it's me winning. Oh, you're winning again, Lee.
I'm going to ask Mark just to not even mention that.
Whereas if it's you, oh, Sam's winning. Oh, excellent. Great. And I have to sit there like a Muppet being 30 points behind. This is my time.
No, I'm asking. This is my time. I'm going to email Mark, the producer, and ask him to leave that segment out.
Just don't mention it.
The worst part about this is I've had to write a script all about praising Ian and Jules for their show on Wednesday. I'm about to write the script praising Harry for his great game week, and then I've had an absolute shocker. Please, can we end this pod so I can?
We can end this pod.
Stop talking about it. Oh no, I can't. I've got to talk about it all week.
We can end this podcast, Sam. Thank you guys for listening to this week's podcast. Like I said at the top, follow, subscribe, do all that usual stuff. Give us a like.
I'm going to be happier on Sunday.
Rate the podcast. Do all of that thing. If only to make Sam a little bit happier after the stinker game week 27
Spurs
she's had.
Spurs won.
And the fact... Well, this is the other thing.
Spurs won.
You can't be that disheartened. Spurs are doing
Lee,
all right.
Lee, on Saturday, we'll tell everyone, we were in the Florida Mall, weren't we, getting ready to come home.
Yeah.
Spurs were losing to Crystal Palace. Yeah. My game weight was in the mud.
Yeah.
And everything was going wrong.
And our holiday was about to end.
And
so
our holiday
you
was
on a strop.
And I was not happy. And then Timo Werner popped up with a goal and I was like, all right, come on now, boys. Let's have two. Then Romero popped up with one and I was like, oh, I feel better. And then we solidified it with Sonny and I felt loads better. And then Saka and Arsenal today.
We keep asking to end the pod and you keep going off on a little rant about your team. Are you done? We're done.
We'll be back. And it's Mother's Day on Sunday as well. So we'll be better.
What's not to like? Guys, thank you for listening to the pod. Well done in game week 27. Good luck. In game week 28, we will see our patron followers on our exclusive Ohana podcast on Thursday, as usual. So if you want a little bit more Lee and Sam in your life, patreon.com/FPL. I'm trying to plug the patron. Trying to plug the patron, Sam.
If they want a bit more of you in their lives, come and join us on Patreon.
FPL, patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description, as usual. Well done, guys, in 27. We'll see you on Sunday for another FPL family live stream. Until then, green arrows.
Bring on those green arrows.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys. Sports Social Podcast Network.